listening to the CCA Podcast.
Glenn Johnson has been a missionary for, how many years has it been, Glenn? Come on up. 20 years working in Brussels, working in, one of the major themes of Pentecostal mission in the Assembly of God has always been training in, not expats, but I don't want to use the word locals because but training nationals for effective ministry. And Continental Bible College, well, it's now Continental Theological Seminary, has been doing that for a bunch of years. And Glenn and Dana have been a part of that. So, Glenn, so good to have you, man. Yeah. And I'm going to bring this table up for you, and you can lean on it or, whatever you want to do, or dance on it, perhaps. Yeah. You know, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. So,
good morning. It is great to be here again. And Steve, as we sung that song, I leaned over and I said, I can't. Every time I hear that song, I hear your father singing it from the front of our Christian doctrine class and our Doctrine of the Holy Spirit class. And he taught me the word Ebenezer, right, in that song and what it meant. But yeah, I can't hear that song without remembering your dad. What a blessing. It is great to be here with you this morning. Thank you. You need to hear, we need to hear thank you, and you need to hear it from me, first of all. Your church has helped us follow God's call on our life for almost the entire 20 years that we've been in Brussels. And God laid it upon our hearts to go, but we can't do it ourselves. We do it through partners and partnership, and we want to thank you for your support and for your prayers that enable us to be effective and do what we do. The seminary, as Pastor said, has been a long history. This year we'll celebrate our 60th year, and it was started to speed up and to multiply the training of pastors in the old French system in the southern part of Belgium where we began. It was a one-on-one apprenticeship for 7 years to produce one pastor. And a pastor and a missionary got together. They said, how can we do it? And the school was born. And it's an amazing place. We have students from over 30-some countries and 22 or 24 language groups. And they have nothing in common except their faith in Christ and their belief that he's called them to do something great in their community. And so I have a very brief video that will kind of give you some perspective about the school and the challenge that lies before us. And then I'm going to talk to you about some of the students and the ways that God is using them in to impact the nations of Europe. So let's go ahead and take a look at this.
This is an incredible environment. Every year we have students from at least 30 different nations come.
The goal of CTS is to raise up people, biblical people and pastors, singers, ministers, to go to other parts of the world and spread the gospel just as Christ has commanded us to do.
We are based in Europe, in Brussels, Belgium, which is actually known as the capital of Europe. And our students come from all over. For example, this year only, we have students coming from more than 34 countries.
There's nowhere else that I can think of where you're experiencing so many different cultures in such a small student body.
Spiritual life is what attracts me the most. The changing of your personality and character and letting God form you.
I really love CTS because we're a small community and it makes us like a family here.
30 countries, over 20 languages, all come together and they focus on what is the same about preaching the gospel in all those countries, in all those cultures.
I
Steve, you mentioned this series on the emotions or the face of God. And talking about last week, as he said, the things that would make God weep. I believe when people turn away from God, it must be a time of weeping for him. And that is the story of the nations of Europe. As you know, the Christianity that we have in America, its roots are across Europe. And as it has come here and thrived here and now is facing challenges here, there it has faced those same challenges over the decades past. And it's come to this point where Europeans have tried to literally write God out of their history and to say that there's, you know, that was then, but this is now, and it has no relevance whatsoever. And I have to believe that that kind of, not just apathy, but that kind of vocal obstinance to say, God, you have nothing to do with my life, that has got to be something that makes God weep. But I want to talk about this morning what makes God joyful, what makes God rejoice. And that is when someone hears his voice and follows his call. And I want to tell you about some stories of that. You can go ahead and go to the slides here. As I said, we've been at the seminary for beginning our 20th year. And it's a small place by American standards. We have about 150 students, but by European standards, it's huge. There's nothing of its size in the Pentecostal world across Europe. And our student body, we graduate about 25 graduates every year, and 90% of them go directly into ministry somewhere. Most of them are actually in ministry while they're finishing their studies. And as soon as we can, if we can get the slides going, that would be great, and I'll quit mentioning it and just go on. I want to tell you some stories about some of the students that I work with. One of my roles is in student leadership development, and I get to work with the student body leaders that effectuate the change in the day-to-day lives outside of the classroom of what they're getting trained to do. And one of the slides that will come up will show about, there we go, there's the school, and it's been a wonderful blessing, but as you know, the church is the people, not the building, and so is a school, the people, not the building. If we go on into the next slide, you'll see some student leaders. One of the things that they get to do is to help our students find a ministry location. All of our students, as they come to the school, are required to be involved in a local church every week while they're here. And because of the location of the school, being in Brussels, which is the capital of Europe, city of 5 million people, you can find a church in just about any language in the city. So as they come from their country, wherever it is around the world, and they come to the school, we say, help, you know, get involved in a local church. And they're like, but I speak this language. We're like, well, there's a church in that language right here. And so they get a chance to go and be a part of that. And one of our student committees that I work directly with is responsible for seeking out those opportunities and placing those students in places of ministry during their stay. One of the other things, there we go. Go ahead and go on one more. One of the other parts of the student leadership is the missions committee. We believe missions doesn't start when you get a church of your own. We believe missions starts as soon as you learn about it, as soon as you read the word that says go into all the world. And so we have a missions committee that's responsible for promoting missions among the student body. We do missions chapels and missions events and conventions. Maybe you've had them here. But one of the exciting things we do is we send missionaries from the school. We do missions offerings throughout the year. And every summer we get a team of students that goes all over the world and works with missionaries, where they get a chance to firm up that calling. And some of the folks that you'll see here in just a moment answered that call. Salvatore and Antonella were Italians, they Italian by heritage, but they came to our school. They're Italians by heritage, but they're born and raised in Belgium, never lived in Italy, came to our school. Salvatore came and he said to me in January, I want to go on this missions trip in the summertime, 6 weeks in the Congo. I said, Salvatore, you're getting married this summer. He said, yeah, she's going to go with me. Right after the wedding, we're going to go on this missions trip. I said, are you sure about that? He said, yeah. Have you talked with her? Well, yeah, it'll be okay. And I'm like, have you talked? So we talked with her, and she said, yeah. He was totally telling the truth. We talked with his pastor and their family to make sure they were all on board. And they got married on a Friday and left on Monday for 6 weeks in the Congo. And had this amazing experience working both in the cities and out in the bush with a pastor, with a teacher from our school who has relationships there, and had a fantastic time of just the confirming of God's call. So much They came back at the end of 6 weeks and they in the fall. They said, we want to go again. And they did, a second summer. And God began to firm up his call for missions in their hearts. And as you pray for missions, as you give to missions and pray for the missionaries you know and the missionaries you don't know, missionaries like Salvatore and Antonella. God is also calling, and I believe that's it's in the lives of these people that respond to God's call that he truly rejoices. God's also calling church planters. Another person that you'll see in just a moment is Andy and Coralie. They graduated. He came from Congo originally. He was a professional musician, a professional rap musician in Congo through his 20s. He had tours and CDs and the whole thing, and he came to Christ in his mid to late 20s. And eventually, month by month, over the next year or two, won his family to Christ. And then he emigrated to Belgium and met Coralie, who was a pastor's daughter who had come from France. And they were married, and they graduated last year. Now they're planting a church in the southern part of Belgium, where in a town where there's been no evangelical church at all for many, many, many years. And they've graduated now, are planting that church. There they are. And we're excited, but they need prayers, and they need God's support to make it happen. God is also calling pastors in Europe. In the next slide, you'll see Katya and Colin. And they came from nearly opposite backgrounds. Colin is a farmer's kid from the far north of Alberta, from, he says, the middle of nowhere, his words. I come from the middle of nowhere. You go to Edmonton, drive 2 hours, and hang a left. And if you know Canada, that's it's like where the prairies meet the Rockies, and it's like that. And she's a city girl. From her parents are British and German, and she was raised all over the world. They met and found out they had a calling, and they were married. Now they're prepared, graduated from our school, looking to pastor. But sometimes God doesn't give you all the details. Have you ever found that to be true? He'll give you direction without the details. That's their calling. They're like, you know, we want a pastor, but we don't know where. The world is wide open to them. Where are we going to go? Katya is a gifted musician and worship leader. And where are they going to go? God is going to lead them, and God is going to place them. And we're excited that we've been a part of what they've done up to this point. God also calls evangelists. I believe God rejoices when people respond to that call. In the next slide, you'll see Thibaut, spelled the French way, who is called as an evangelist. And it's not something significantly different from who his personality is. And you may have met these type of people where their life is evangelism. Their life is sharing Christ, and Thibaut can't walk down the street without meeting someone and telling them about Christ. Hi, I'm Thibaut. How can I pray for you? You know, what do you need? This, and he came to our school from Switzerland and said, you know, when's the evangelism team? We're like, well, you know, it's this. We got to go more. We have to do more, and it's contagious. And he would lead teams of our students into the city. Brussels is a city of about 5 million people. He would lead teams of our students into the city, up and down the street, evangelize. Hi, how can I pray for you? And they would come back week after week with stories of folks that they had been able to pray with, standing on the sidewalk in broad daylight or at night, whatever, and the way that God had ministered to them. And he's identified that call in his life, and he's following through with it. And God also calls teachers. Sonia is a girl that came to our school for 1 year, 7 years ago. And she was going to take a gap year before she started university. She said, I want to learn more about the Bible. I'll come and study for a year, and then I'll go back to Germany and finish my university. And after that year was over, I said, Sonia, what are you going to do in university? Well, she says, I've really enjoyed this year, but I want more. I feel like I should stay a second year. We're like, that's great. She was a gifted violinist in our worship teams and different things. And at the end of 2 years, I said, Sonia, that's great. What are you going to do now? Well, if I stay for a third year, I can finish my bachelor's degree, because bachelor's in Europe is just a 3-year degree. And I can finish my bachelor's, so I'm going to stay for 3 years. The end of 3 years, Sonia, what are you going to do? Well, I'm really interested in the master's degree. And so a master's degree in theology and church, practical theology. So she stayed, she did her master's degree for the next 2 years. At the end of 5 years, after coming for one, I said, Sonia, this is exciting. What are you going to do now? Well, she says, do you know the French master's degree is completely different than the English master's degree? And I speak French. I'm fluent in French. She's fluent in 5 languages, maybe 6 by now. She said, I'm fluent in French. I would love to get the church leadership subjects that are in the French master's degree. I think I'm going to stay and take that. She finished that. This is last June when she finished her master's degree in French. And so finally, 7 years later, I'm like, Sonia, we got nothing else for you. what are you going to do? She goes, I don't know. And so we left in June to come back and be here. And I learned at the end of the summer that the school found the funds to hire her as an adjunct faculty member. Which is amazing and unique because we're a missions Bible school. Most of us come and work for free because we're sent and paid by people like you and your church. And so they found the funds to help her be one of our extension faculty members. And she's following the call God's given her. And so the school is full of story after story after story. And I believe, you want to talk about rejoicing and about joy. I believe that has to bring joy to God's heart. When people hear his voice and find his call on their life and begin to take steps toward that call and toward that plan that he has for their life. And so I want to say thank you. This is our graduating class from this last year. And then in the end, in the next slide, they all take off and literally scatter around the world. And we'll never be in the same place again. 2 or 3 or 4, maybe 5 or 10, but most of them will never see each other again as they scatter home. And God is doing great things. It's not all doom and gloom. Sometimes that we feel like, oh, but God is doing great things, and it always involves the lives of people like this. This is our family, my wife and our two 13-year-old boys. Their life is really in Belgium. All their kids were born there. All that they really know is there. When we come here, it's all unique and weird and English. So they're involved actually in a church in Tacoma. We learned a few years ago that my boys' faith language was French. And that's kind of cool, but I want it to be English. but at school, all day long is in French. Our church all night, all weekend long is in French and all this stuff. And so while we're home, while I'm traveling and visiting our churches, they're involved in a local church every week and getting that base of their faith language in English. And so they send their greetings. And thank you for your prayers, for your faithful support of us for many, many years. Pray for, as Pastor mentioned, our budget needs. Every missionary has them that you've ever seen. God knows what they are, and he knows what it takes to get there. And so we're trusting him that we can be back in Brussels by the middle of August to get prepared for the next school year. So as you pray for us specifically, pray that that can happen and that we will get the budgets raised, both cash and monthly budgets, to make that happen by mid-August. Would be wonderful. And so thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Glenn. You know, that whole thing about kids in the mission field and then coming back to the States, you know, we went through that with our children. And actually, during the whole time that our kids were in school, they were only back in America for 1 year. It was... So they did first through 13th grade in the German school system, and then they were back. Kevin was a sophomore in high school, and Catherine was in eighth grade here in the States. And both of them say the hardest year of their whole life was the year that they were back here in the States. And I think you can understand why that is. They know well how to be foreigners, but they don't know how to be locals in a place that wasn't their local place. So everybody just expects them to act like Americans and understand American ways, and they felt like fish out of water. So that's one of the things we can really pray for our missionary kids, is that there is a real bonding with their own home culture. Thanks for sharing, Glenn. Really, really great to hear what God's doing. What a powerful work there at CTS, and it is a beautiful campus. It's a great setting over there. So you guys aren't really suffering in terms of the cultural setting there, right?
In other ways.
Well, Michael and Cheryl Langford, are you both coming up? Michael's coming up. Okay, Michael, come on. And Michael and Cheryl have been in the Philippines for, man, how many years has it been for you? 31 years. Yeah. These are two sets of really veteran missionaries. It's always fun for us to reconnect with Michael and Cheryl. Cheryl was actually back in the day when this church planted Calvary Chapel, and I was a pastor. Cheryl was our admin for a few months, and for 1 year, yeah. Yeah, it was really a fun time. It's a delight. You guys are, you know, colleagues and friends, have been for many years. So Michael, thanks for coming. The ministry to Muslim people is one of the most serious callings in missions today. And Michael and Cheryl have worked tirelessly in that regard. So, Michael?
Thank you so much. Truly a joy to be here and to catch up a little bit. This feels like home. It's one of the places that God did significant things in my life. To be able to intern under Pastor Charles Anderson is a wonderful privilege. And I can say that I know every nook and cranny of this church, including the catacombs down below and the tower up above. So every space in this church pretty intimately. It's a joy to come and to thank you for standing with us. I believe we are alive today and well because of the grace of God released through prayers of God's people. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Just speaking of our children, you know, our children still bear some of the scars of, and they will for the rest of their lives. But the grace of God enables them to heal and to return to normal American life, even though we will never be normal Americans again. So we thank God for you and for the privilege of having a long-term blessing relationship with this church. You've blessed us in so many ways from the early days of working here, serving here in Sunday school and so on. From the time that this church sent a building team to a strategic area of the Philippines, this church has blessed us and the Philippines. That church continues to thrive, and we thank you for investing in the work of God in that strategic place called Zamboanga City. Can you say Zamboanga? Zamboanga. Well, God has done a marvelous thing in these almost 32 years of serving in behalf of unreached Muslims in the Philippines and beyond. In the Philippines, we went, there was a great disconnect and hardness of heart among Filipinos toward the Muslims because of the long-standing war between Christian and Muslim that continues to this day. And God has done a work of grace in changing their heart and in multiplying the numbers of boots on the ground as we've invested our lives and sown seed, and God has used a little and made it much. He's given the increase, and you are a part of it. You are a part of it. The Philippine Assemblies of God has now caught the vision, had a transformation of heart. They have the burden. They're doing the work, and now they're sending missionaries to other nations. The majority of their missionaries are going to the Muslim world, and that's a whole other story. God did a sort of end run, you know, the football term on the Super Bowl Sunday, an end run around the hardness of heart to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So our passion is strategic training to multiply boots on the ground. I ask you to pick up a prayer card and pray for us, because even though we're at retirement age for some, we're not retiring. God is actually giving us more responsibility and challenge than we have ever had in our almost 32 years going on of ministry. 21 years ago, God moved us from the South to be a part of launching the first Institute of Islamic Studies in Baguio City, Philippines, the place where the seminary is located, Asia Pacific Theological Seminary. That's the place where we have had this program ever since. And I don't know which story to tell you, so I want to do something a little bit different, because of the 56 countries represented by students that have gone through that program, there's 906, and I'm not sure which story to tell you, but I'll tell you one at the end of our time. I believe that we can understand how the character of God impacts mankind and the range of history and beyond, because we have a term called the mission of God, Missio Dei. Missio Dei is a term that tries to bring together this whole sweep, encompassing everything that God does through his kingdom and through the church. It actually is from eternity past to eternity future that we have a missionary God. And because of that missionary God, we are a part of the kingdom of God and the family of God. And we ourselves are on a mission because God is on a mission. And he calls us to join him in this mission. And I believe that one way that this impacts our society, and in particular this society in Seattle, is because God cares about the brokenness of mankind and families. I want to point you to Genesis, where God said that he would make a man a blessing to the nations. That man is Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says, "Go from your country." God called him out of his place. "From your people and from your father's household to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." Verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That is the intention of God toward all peoples, is to bless them. And he used a man, an imperfect man, to accomplish his plan for those days that still is being fulfilled today. As we read the story of Abraham, we find his marriage was strained. Conflict and dispute entered into his home as he tried to figure out how to fulfill the mission of God that God had given to him. There was jealousy and angry outbursts, and his family was broken. And that brokenness led Abraham eventually to try to find a solution to send his firstborn son, Ishmael, and Hagar, the surrogate mother of Ishmael, out into the wilderness to live or die. That's how he found a solution to their family situation. But there's more to the story, that God reassured him and told him that, "I have heard you, and I know about Ishmael and his brokenness, and I will bless him, and he will be met by me." As we read the story, we see that God was involved. God saved the life of Hagar and Ishmael, both when the baby was in the womb and when that man, that boy Ishmael, was a young man out in the desert about to die under a bush. God saved his life, and God has blessed him. To this day, there is still blessing flowing because God had a plan for him. God answered Abraham's cry for Ishmael that God would bless him, and there's ultimate blessing still to come to the broken family of Abraham. That broken family can be traced to this day because Ishmael had children, 12 sons, who became the Arab peoples. And those Arab peoples had a man born among them who became a prophet. The prophet of Islam was an Arab man. And we call those people our cousins to this day. They are our estranged cousins, and their brokenness has not yet been healed. But there is light. There is something happening in the Muslim world because of your prayers. I invite you to join with Pastor Charles Anderson and Ruth and others who are a part of the Jumu'ah Prayer Fellowship, praying on Friday for the Muslims of the world. The reason there is movement to Christ, the reason there is healing coming to the broken family, is because God is answering prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves the hand of God, and God moves people to Christ. And Christ is the one who can bring healing to the brokenness of all mankind. The challenge is for us to see people like Zacchaeus, who everyone had disdain for. But when Jesus met Zacchaeus, he said, "Salvation has come to this home today." And Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save people like Zacchaeus, those that are lost." The challenge for us is to submit what we know about people, broken people, to what we know about God. Because God is love, and God is on a mission. And part of that mission involves Calvary, where every man, woman, and boy and girl, the potential of their salvation was already purchased on Calvary. And we can believe today that that extent and potential of Calvary continues to unfold because we are a part of what God is doing here in Seattle and around the world. Calvary Christian Assembly gets it. We know the answer is Jesus Christ. We know that He is the face of God to our broken society. He was in our life. It's because we saw Jesus and the beauty of the person of Christ that we have found wholeness. You know, the Assemblies of God gets it too. And we are on a mission as Assemblies of God. We have in our DNA the love of people. When we know what God loves and we become more like God, we love what God loves. We love people. Now, Acts chapter 26, the call of Paul to the Gentiles, gives us dimensions of God's blessing on broken people. Verse 26, verse 18 of chapter 26 of Acts, God wants to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus said to Paul. God wants to bless people. He wants to open the blind eyes, whether they're physically blind or spiritually blind. He wants to turn them from darkness to light. He wants them to be freed from the power of Satan in their life and addictions in their life. That is the way the bondage of Satan manifests itself in our society. He wants them to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. Now, in Islam, it's very interesting to look at what the person of Christ is in Islam. There's a mix of non-biblical facts and error. In Islamic thought, Jesus was born of a virgin. He performed miracles. And most Muslims believe, interestingly, that Jesus is alive today and he's coming back to earth sometime in the future as a part of the end times. But from there, they get it wrong because they say he's only a man and he did not die on the cross. In that, Islam tears the heart out of the gospel. There is no atonement. And apart from a miracle of grace, they will never know Jesus fully. And if they cannot know Jesus, how then can they know God? Rather, Muslims have elevated a man to the place closest to fulfilling what God wants man to do, and that is the prophet of Islam. They have elevated him to the place where he has become the only knowable face of God. So, in a way, they are doubly lost because they're looking to a man and they do not recognize who Jesus is, And God has something to say about the lostness of these people. That's the reason I believe there are divine visitations, many more divine visitations among lost Muslims than there are among other peoples of the world, because God is breaking through into their brokenness and their bondage. I ask you to be a part of the solution. And that solution is that you would engage, because Islam is more than just a religion. It is a complete way of life that encompasses everything. And it's even more than that. Islam is a spiritual force that holds 1.82 billion people in its grip in the nations, including this nation, the growing number of Muslims that are here. God is bridging the gap, and He wants to use us. I believe that it's so simple. Ministry begins with prayer, but the next step is to say hello. Say hello, and this church is already doing it. Saying hello to the Muslims that are coming to America, because 42.5% of the Muslim immigrants to America say they do not know a single Christian. That can be changed as we determine to be a part of God's mission for the nations. I want to tell you that bringing blessing is as simple as meeting someone and asking God to bless them. We met our Muslim neighbors, and when I met the man, I found out he didn't have a job, and simply I stopped there on the street in front of our house and asked God to give him a job. Do you believe that is something God can answer? Do you believe that that's a blessing that God wants to give to people when they come here and they're trying to find a place to get settled in this society? Even if we're suspect of their reasons, God wants to bless them. And ultimately, He wants to bring the greatest blessing, that they would know who Jesus is, that they would know that Jesus is the answer to those things that they are seeking. So I invite you to pray, and I invite you to say hello, and I invite you to ask for blessing on the people that you meet. Mm. Father, I pray for this great church, this mission station here in Seattle. I pray for the staff of this church. I pray that this church would flourish and grow and respond and be flexible in the ways that make them a relevant force and a light in this part of your great plan. Your great plan to touch all of Metro Seattle. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done through the years, and you're not done yet. And so we have great hope that this church can be the face of God to Seattle, that they can represent your love in new and expanding ways, because it is your plan. You're on a mission, Father. And you had one son, and that son was a missionary. And just as you sent him, you are sending us. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege of serving you in this generation. Amen. God bless you.